All right, well, let's take a brief study here, and this shouldn't take very long, but everybody's going to need their Bibles, because we are going to chase down these scripture references here. And this is what I've just simply titled, The Doctrine of the Open Door. Or we could call it, opportunities that the Lord creates for us, because really that's what it is. And so looking at what we'll talk about this evening with the doctrine of the open door, and I'm just going to read through this, but we're going to chase down a few scripture references and talk about some of these. Because earlier on, remember in Revelation 3, 7, Christ is described as one who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. So Christ is the one who has the authority to open doors and to close doors. And we use that same language today, don't we? We'll talk about an open door for ministry opportunities. And so we'll talk a little bit about what that means, because that language is used throughout the New Testament. I think we actually covered this before when we went through the book of Acts. But throughout the New Testament, an open door refers to a divinely orchestrated opportunity for sharing the gospel and engaging in Christian ministry. Let me say that again. Throughout the New Testament, an open door refers to a divinely orchestrated opportunity. In other words, it is God who sets it up. It is God who controls it. But it is a divinely orchestrated opportunity for sharing the gospel and engaging in Christian ministry. Now go with me over to Acts, because we're going to hit a few of these in Acts, which is where we'll see these. But in Acts chapter 14... Verse 25, Acts chapter 14. And it says here in verse 25, when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attala, and from there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that had that they had accomplished. In verse 27, when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And so how they understood their ministry and the success of their ministry was basically God opened a door of faith to the Gentiles, and they just simply walked through that door. It was just simply a ministry opportunity that they walked into. But again, they didn't have to create it. They didn't have to bring it about. It was something that God created for them. Now, they were certainly willing. They were certainly willing to do the Lord's work. But we can look at least one situation, and I'll read on the notes here. Scripture also reveals at least one time where the Lord closed an opportunity for ministry. And go with me over to Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. And I'm sure you all remember this when we were going through this. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6, it says here that... And this is talking about Paul's ministry. It says, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region. And notice what it says here. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because you would think that the word, that the gospel would go out everywhere. And yet here we have an example where it clearly states that they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit, that is by God, to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So they were trying to engage in ministry. But what's happening here? Closing doors. Doors are being closed. Opportunity is not presenting itself. And we don't have the particulars, we don't have the specifics, except that they just simply told us that they were forbidden to go to Asia, and they were forbidden to go into Bithynia. So we have two regions here where they were clearly forbidden. And so we would take this as a closed door opportunity. But then notice verses 8 through 10. In passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And then it says in verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding what? That God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So you have a closed door of ministry opportunity followed by an open door of ministry opportunity. And it is God who creates those ministry opportunities. We don't create them. Again, I go back to the passage in Ephesians 2:10, and I'll read that again. You know, again, we're so familiar with 2:8 and 9. Which says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. But then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. So again, it's God creates these opportunities to work for him, but he creates them. And he has created them beforehand that we should walk in them. And I think when we're looking at examples like this in Acts 14 and then again in Acts 16, we see where some opportunities are closed off and other opportunities are open. And I know there's been times where I have wanted to engage in ministry in a number of different areas of my life. I can think of very clear areas where I've wanted to engage in ministry. And the door has just been closed to me, closed to me, closed to me. And what we have to learn also is that a closed door today may be an open door tomorrow. So just because it's closed for the moment doesn't mean it's closed forever. And we should also keep that in mind. But we should realize here that when we're talking about this whole idea of an open door, we're talking about ministry opportunities that God creates. And so we see it at least in these first couple instances here. But it goes on, because the term open door occurs a few more times. And so a few things that I'll point out briefly here is that an open door for ministry can have opposition. Now let me say that again. Just because God opens a door for you to engage in ministry does not mean that it's going to be opposition free. In other words, he may open a door for you to engage in ministry and you may still face opposition even while you're there. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 7 through 9. He says, for I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time, if the Lord permits. And he realizes that it really is up to the sovereignty of the Lord. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a wide door, you catch the language? And it's not just any door, it is a wide door. This is a big, wide open door. A wide door for effective service has opened to me. And what? And there are many adversaries. So you can have a wide open door for effective ministry, and while you're engaging in doing the Lord's work that he has created for you to walk in, you can have adversaries, many adversaries, he says, and there are many adversaries. And so when God calls us to ministry and he opens up a door of ministry opportunity for us, it does not mean that there will not be opposition. Either in the human realm or in the satanic realm. We may face opposition from both. But again, we should realize that. And some people have this idea that if I'm called into ministry, then it should be opposition free. No. And, you know, reading through the Bible and looking at the ministries of some people, and Paul here in particular, he was met with much opposition. And so you really, you know, we should understand that. That God may create an open door of ministry opportunity for family, at work, in a number of areas of life. But you can realize that as soon as you walk into that ministry opportunity, you, like Paul, may be faced with many adversaries, people that will oppose you. I mean, they did in Philippi. I mean, you had those who were of the synagogue of Satan, who were causing them trouble. Now, they had an open door, but they had opposition among them as well. And so that is something that we should understand, that an open door for ministry can have opposition. Another point about an open door for ministry is that it does not remove everyday concerns about life. Is that it does not remove everyday concerns about life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. 2 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. And again, I find this interesting. Notice how Paul starts off here. He says, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me." So again here, we have a door that was opened for me in the Lord. And so he's clearly recognizing that this is a ministry opportunity. But then he says in verse 13, "I had no rest for my spirit. Not finding Titus my brother, but taking leave from him, I went on to Macedonia." So he's concerned about his brother Titus. He's concerned about what's going on. But notice he says, "I had no rest in my spirit." So again, having an open door of ministry does not mean that one doesn't have opposition. And it also does not remove concerns about everyday life. So you can be engaged in ministry and still you have to deal with the everyday concerns of life. In this case, it was about a fellow companion of his. It might be a loved one. It might be a family member. It could be just normal life issues. You can be worried about finances or health or something else that's going on. So again, you know, having an open door of ministry does not mean the removal of these things. Also, open door of ministry opportunity should be sought with prayer. It should be sought with prayer. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He says here in Colossians 4, 2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned." So they were to be in regular prayer. For what? That God will open up a door, basically for ministry of the word. So it should be something that should be part of our daily prayer life as well. And then lastly, we should realize that once opened, once a door is opened, it cannot be shut by people. In other words, it's God who opens the door, and it's only God who closes the door. And that goes back to our passage in Revelation 3:7. He says here in 3:8. Well, in 3:7, he says that the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, "I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut." And so when Christ opens a door for ministry opportunity, again, it may come with opposition. It may still involve the everyday concerns about life. It should be sought with prayer, but it is also something that people cannot undo. People cannot close that door. And so it's one of those interesting little phrases that appears throughout the New Testament with regard to ministry. That again, it's how do we think about ministry? Ministry isn't something that we jump into, that we create, that we manufacture, that we sustain. It is something that God creates. And it is something that we just simply walk into looking to Him to be faithful ministers to Him. And then I close out with just the last comment, that as God's people, we do not create occasions for Christian ministry. We simply accept those occasions which are provided for us by the Lord. And that changes, again, how we think about ministry opportunities, because it is, again, the Lord who creates it and puts it in front of us. We just have to be ready and willing to walk into it when the opportunity presents itself.